Good evening and welcome to The Laundry List on 90.5 CFCR. And you just heard The Garys with Come On. And I have three very special guests in the studio this evening. The Garys. And we're going to talk a little bit about how they got started, what they play, the first show, some issues around criticism and feedback, and where they're going to be playing this summer, so you can catch them live anywhere around the province, and I'm guessing elsewhere outside the province as well?
Maybe.
Well, stay tuned. Yeah. We'll keep you posted. All right, so we have three Garys in the studio, and if you could just go around and introduce yourselves and tell the listeners a little bit about what you do and who you are.
Hello, my name's Julie. I'm the middle Gary, I guess. I play bass in the band and do some vocals as well. By day, I'm a teacher, and yeah, by night, I'm a Gary.
What kind of teacher?
I teach adult ed, actually, math and science.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
I'm Erica. I'm the youngest Gary. I play electric guitar and vocals as well. I guess during the day, I work at Outer Limits, an outdoor clothing store, and I just finished school. I finished an archaeology degree and a biology degree.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Smarty Pam.
I'm Lenore. I play drums and vocals in the Garys. I'm the old Saggy Gary. And
the elder Gary.
And the eldest, the wisest one. And I work here at CFCR.
Woo!
And I also support people with intellectual disabilities as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for coming in this evening on the long weekend.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So tell me about your name. That was the first thing. When I was kind of scrolling around on Facebook and I saw the Garys. I'm like, who are the Garys? And who's that very beautiful woman on the front of your new album?
So Gary is our father's name. So if we're ever picky about the spelling, like you spell it with one R and we get prickly, that's why. It's our dad's name. So we're a little protective of it, I guess.
When we were growing up, actually, someone would call, or like even if, I don't know, if anybody would ever refer to our dad as Gary with one R, or like write a letter. Like, he gets
or,
mail.
Or, like, Jerry with an E.
Yeah. He's like, can I speak to Jerry? He'd be like, you got the wrong number. Or just throw out mail that has Jerry with one R. So it totally is, like, transferred over to us as well. Mm-hmm. Or even people put an apostrophe in there, too, sometimes, which is grammatically incorrect. But, you know, it's okay, I guess. But it's spelt.
Yeah. 2 R's.
So what inspired you to name your band the Garys?
Well, we initially started out with our name was like the Meyer Sisters, and I guess we wanted something a little bit more like identifiable or like more unique of a name. And we threw around a few names and stuff, and the Garys almost started as like we were like, oh, maybe that's a good idea, but then it just stuck super well.
Yeah, another option we had was the Gerhardettes. Which our dad's full name is Gerhard. I don't know why we're so tied to naming it after him, but we were.
It almost started as like a bit of like a joke, in a way. Like I don't know, we kind of like make fun of our parents quite a bit in like
in a
loving
good
way.
Like, with right. them,
yeah.
We make fun of them with so,
they laugh with you.
Yeah. And I think like when Lenore and Erica started making music before I joined them, you guys did one show as the Mandarin Oranges,
right?
Which was also like a bit of a jab at Gary and his mispronunciation of Mandarin.
Mandarin.
Yeah.
So how is that usually the first question when you get interviewed? What's the story behind the name?
Not necessarily. Yeah. I don't know. Someone asked me last weekend if that was our last name. And I was like, no, it's our dad's name. And they're like, oh, cool. But,
I think we sort of see it as like a loving tribute. Yeah. But also, like, it keeps the family connection in our bad name, which is good. Without being too obvious and just being like, the Meyer Sisters.
Yeah. Our first jams were also in our parents' living room. Because we bought a drum kit and we all split it, and then we were like,
"We know where to put it."
With this, is about just over a year ago, and so we just plunked it in our parents' living room, and they were super cool with it. So,
it started out where I think they were kind of like almost fighting between them about having this drum kit in the house, and then they were like, "Well, why don't you just put it in the living room?" And so then our first jam was in the living room.
So yeah, that's actually a good segue to my next question. So what got all of you into music, and when did you start playing music, and what was the decision to sort of get together as a family and make some kick-ass music?
I think we've all been making music for a long time. I know, like, one of my earliest memories is probably of, like, Lenore playing, like, this old crappy guitar with, like, elastic band strings. And then we were all in band as kids, so got into it more formally, I guess, around, like, grade 5 or 6, whenever band starts up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I played bass in elementary school band and high school band, so kind of had that background to it. But we always had guitars kicking around at home. Yeah. The drum set was really the last piece to be added, I think.
Yeah, totally. Mm.
Our mom is super musical. She, I think she used to be a choir director or teacher or something.
Yeah, she used to play organ in church and stuff. Mm. And
she also went to like a all-girls Catholic school, which I think I would say I am a little bit jealous of in some ways. Like, I feel like her high school experience was like, I don't know, so much different than mine. But music was a big part of it, just being surrounded by the Catholic aspect of it. So she's, like, quite formally trained in how she, like, approaches singing and music.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to, like, impart some of that on us as much as we resisted it at times.
It's kind of, like, one of the only times I could ever, like, romanticize a Catholic upbringing or something. You know, to be like, well, that actually looks, like, picturesque or something.
But, huh.
Like, being run by nuns and, like, you know, it's kind of, like, from, like, a...
And all just surrounded by girls and like women, and like it's like overall seems like it was a very positive experience for her.
Yeah.
So did she encourage you all to experiment with music, like instruments or singing? Yeah. Or
I think like we had a piano in the living room like growing up and stuff, and she also was like, yeah, you said the organ, but she was also trained on like piano too. And I think she was very like encouraging about learning piano too. And so like for me, I think that's probably the first thing that I really kind of like was interested in music. And she wasn't really like, even though she was very like trained by the book and stuff, she was very encouraging of learning it like by ear as well. Because like I can't really play piano like classically at all, but like she kind of helped me in that direction. So.
They're also, I was going to say, like, very encouraging just in terms of, like, allowing us to make a ton of noise in the house when it comes to music and, like buying us, like, the materials to make noise with. Like, I think if any of us had asked for a guitar, they might have been like, like, you know, hinted them, oh, maybe if you're good. But they would for sure, like, be, it would be a priority for them to, like, make sure we had access to, like, musical instruments and stuff.
Yeah, my mom encouraged me to play piano, but it was lessons and it was reading music, and I hated it. It was.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something like when you're sort of organically given like noodle around with this, and you don't have to like formally, you know. I don't know,
because
I felt like there was like a forced thing behind it, and it just made me resent. The whole experience.
I mean, I do have a memory of my mom like sitting me down and trying to teach me piano, and me just like screaming the whole time, probably. Whereas, like, when I was 11, my parents bought me, like a hot pink electric guitar for my birthday, and it was, like, the best birthday present I've ever got. So.
But, yeah, I think they did a really good job of establishing that relationship with music to be a healthy one and a fun one early on.
Yeah.
So that, like, I've never really, I can't really think of a time when I was learning music or playing music and not wanting to do it. It's always been something that has been, like, a therapeutic thing ever since I was a kid, right? So they've been really good for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So tell me about the photograph on the front of your awesome pink cassette that I picked up at your last show, and I actually got one of the ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, nice.
And I was like eating, listening. I was so happy. It was like the best experience
of my
life.
Thanks for coming.
It was great. It was such a good time.
Yeah.
It was a typical Migos show where I don't think you guys got on stage till like 1:30.
Yeah. Super late.
But it was packed because people are like, no, I'm here and I'm staying for the Garys till they are done.
It was a great lineup, actually, all the other bands that came.
Oh,
Mulligrub from Winnipeg. We really
enjoyed
them.
Cool.
And Shirley and the Pyramids.
And the Baby Fats.
And the Baby Fats.
Baby Fats!
And they played their first show and killed it.
They did. They were great.
Can't wait to see them again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the lady on the cover is our mom, Kathy. And we kind of mentioned, like, her high school upbringing a little bit. So that's a picture of her from high school. That's probably like her grade 12 picture.
So how did she feel about being on the cover of your...
Well, we asked for permission because we didn't just want to slap one on there. And
surprise, Mom!
We were kind of going through some old family pictures and trying to pick one that sort of had like a vintage feel, and then also just sort of like expressed like something about our family, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were also talking about, like, we almost put a picture of Gary on the cover because we've got a few good old ones of Gary.
Mm-hmm.
But we almost felt like that was a little too one-sided to, like, call the band Gary and then also have his picture on the front. So we went with the picture of our mom. And it's, a really beautiful picture.
It is. Too. I love it. And warm buds. Yeah. Is that a reference to, like, trees in the spring or something? That's the first thing I think of.
No, it's great. I think that we all, we had a couple different album names and, this one was sort of the most, not controversial, but we were like, people are going to think this when they think that, or they're going to think that. I think it...
What did you think they were going to think?
Well, people can think... Well, first I'll tell you what people think, and then I'll tell you what it actually is. But sometimes people think it's like a reference to like marijuana, right?
Oh, okay.
And then sometimes people think it's like a reference to like hugging your friends around a campfire or
something. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And... Or like spring flowers or something like you were saying. But it's actually a reference to the way our dad likes to drink his Budweiser, which is warm.
Okay, that is the best. Yes. That is better than anything.
He keeps his buds, like Budweisers, in a filing cabinet, and he likes them warm. And if they're too cold, he always gets real
crusty. Leave it out for a little bit.
Yeah. So, oh, like,
I think I gotta meet Gary.
I know, right? Yeah. So if you ever do,
it's a subtle Garyism.
If you ever do, bring him a warm bud.
Bring him a warm bud. Awesome. So tell me about your first show. When was the first show you ever played and what was your experience? Because you were you performed on a stage before.
I hadn't really. Lenore and Erica had. But in like a rock context, I hadn't, other than like high school concert band. That's pretty much my...
Which
that
is
had been
super rock.
Basically my performance extent.
Our first show was... well, we started in about... We started jamming. We bought this drum kit, and that was the thing where we were like, okay, we have a drum kit, let's jam. But there was a... We had been jamming for about a month, I'd say. I think we only jammed two or three times. And there was a fundraiser at the Yard and Flag Inn that was kind of put together, like, kind of last minute. But it went really well, as they always do.
For Girls Rock Camp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the Yard, and it was basically kind of like an open stage, but one that was scheduled, and it was consisting of all volunteers in some capacity, just like informally playing music. So we were like, oh, this would be a really great space and environment for us to play for the first time, because the reception and the crowd at those types of things are always like magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a perfect way to, you know, step into something that you're unsure about.
Mm-hmm.
So we played at the Yard, and I remember it was great, but we sounded way worse than we do now.
But we played that song, that Come On, that Lost Psycho song.
Yeah.
That was one of our first songs.
Yeah. Nice.
And then after that, we were just so excited about playing. And then we actually got a show like the next day, or not the next day, but shortly after.
Yeah.
We played a couple shows in the next couple weeks, and we were just like, in a month, we were like, we already played three shows, and this is great. And so it just was like, this is a thing.
Cool. Yeah. And you know what's also a thing? The Laundry List on 90.5 CFCR. And that's what you're listening to. And tonight we have the Garys in the studio talking a little bit about what they do, where they got started, the stories behind the band name, the cover, beautiful cover photo, and the awesome story behind the name of the first album, Warm Buds. And I encourage you all to check them out on Bandcamp if you haven't already. And they also have a Facebook page.
Yep.
The Garys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spelt.
Two R's.
Not one.
Yep.
No apostrophe.
No.
Nope. Nothing like that. Just straight up the Garys. And you can check out their music on various social media platforms and media platforms because you got a few reviews. I read a review in Exclaim, correct?
Yeah. It was a bit more... Yeah, I guess it was like a simple review. They were really nice to feature our album for a couple weeks before it actually came out, so that's cool. And then they said it wasn't super lengthy, but they did say some nice words.
Got shout outs.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And very well deserved because the album is great. I love
Thanks.
It.
Thank you.
It makes me feel good.
We had a lot of fun doing it.
It's mm-hmm. it's great. I'm so glad that the Garys are now part of the Saskatoon music scene for sure. So we talked a little bit about already your first show and how that felt, and we were talking a little bit before we sat down about some criticisms and feedback you've received since you started traveling around. Now, how do you like to be referred to, or how do people often refer to you, like a sister band, a family band, a girl band? Yeah. And how do you feel about any of those labels? or all of those labels.
I think it is pretty common, like, in, so like we've had a couple festivals we've been booked into this summer when we played last weekend, and so like there'll be bios put up about us, and I think it's pretty common for us for it to say like Saskatoon Trio of Sisters, or just mention in there that we're sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of that like outwardly said like girl band or like, I don't know, something along those lines, but it's almost, yeah, I was saying before we started, a little bit of a slippery slope to be like sister band also, you know, implies our genders right off the
mm-hmm.
bat.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like the fact that we are sisters, I think is an important part of our band identity and something that I think we're happy about and proud about, you know?
Yeah. It also, having jammed and played music with other people in the past, being able to share ideas and shoot ideas down with sort of the belief that you're not going to be angry with each other afterwards is really nice. So there's this dynamic there where we can be brutally honest with each other and get over it a little faster.
I think like we will be angry at each other, but it's like you can, it rolls off your back a little different from a sibling just because you've had a lifetime of learning how to be angry at each other.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of like, well, in my experience, like jamming with other people and stuff, I feel like we kind of have some sort of like good mojo going in comparison to other times I've jammed with other people. And so it's really nice to be, it's like really supportive and stuff. Even if someone really doesn't like your idea, it's like, you'll get over it.
But like, you know, you can't deny the fact that we are all female identified. We are all girls, but that is, putting that at the forefront is just selling yourself short of what you're actually doing, right? Because that's not why people should pay attention to us. So yes, that's a thing, but it should be like, you know, number 10 on the list.
You're musicians.
Yeah.
And you're a band. And you play good music.
And we happen to be girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you happen to be related.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think like if I overheard someone talking about the Garys and they're like, oh, what are the Garys all about? And someone was like, oh, they're like a band of chicks. I think that would be like not what I would want to hear. I'd want to hear like, they're a good band.
Yeah.
You should go see them.
Yeah. Like if someone refers to you as like, I don't know, they say something like, oh, look at those cute musicians or something, that totally undermines your musicianship and doesn't really make it feel like you're talented in that way. Just like, I don't know, it's just frustrating, you know?
So has that happened? Have you run into like people kind of putting their own identities on your band, and what do you do to sort of deal with that?
Well, I think the biggest thing that comes to mind is some of the most common response that's negative that we get is that we don't smile enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are it you makes serious.
Oh, yeah. And like none of us are really like, yeah, we're smiling today and stuff, but like none of us are really like that type of girl or person, I should say, where we're like always smiling. We do the resting bee face quite a bit. Really well. And I don't know, people will say that to us a lot and be like, you know, if you guys smiled more or danced around more.
Like a stage, they're talking about your stage presence?
Yeah,
they're like, it would be so much better, you know, and it's like, there's, at first I was like thinking about that and being like, okay, well, we should practice that. And then I was just like, wait a minute.
That's not who you are.
No, and this is like totally just conforming to this other.
I think, and we did try it to like incorporate that a little bit, but it, like it felt unnatural.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't really us.
And sometimes people will say, like, oh, it's so nice to see girls rocking out up there. And, like, I get that their intention is right, but, like, it grates the wrong way with me anyways. Mm-hmm. Just, it's like, there's more to it than that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the fact that we're up there. It's, like, we're playing music that we've been working really hard on.
Yeah.
And, like, you can listen to it, too, and, like, stack it up against other bands and, you know, in the scene in Saskatoon, and, like, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. You know? And, I mean, it's just, your music stand alone, like even if it was, you know, there were no lights on and everybody's standing in the dark, I mean, that is reason enough to show up. It shouldn't matter, you know, what you're doing. And I would think that there is a definitely like an inauthenticity about like trying to like pretend you're something you're not.
And like ever since we've been getting this type of feedback at shows, I'll be like, I'm so much more like paying attention to like what the other bands are doing, and I'm just like, oh my god, like just chill out a little bit, guy, like, you know.
But it's also like we've talked a lot about too, like we watch some bands we really love, some that are like mixed gender, some with just women, some with just men, and it's like a lot of bands like don't smile a lot, don't dance around a lot, and it doesn't matter really, I think, to us, because like if we like the music, we like the music, and that's the most important thing. But I don't think anyone has ever watched a band of all men and be like, they're not really smiling enough.
Seriously,
it's just a bogus it's bogus criticism.
It is bogus criticism because they have nothing else to. They're like, this is as amazing as it is. I have nothing to add.
And there's like other criticism that we get that's really helpful too, right? Like, you know, in certain parts you're just like a little bit flat here with the harmonies, especially because that's something that we do all the time. And if you mess up during harmonies, it's really obvious. So, you know, we've got a lot of good feedback that is helpful and constructive, but like the smile more, dance around more, be more entertaining to me thing is, it's just way too common of a of feedback than I ever would have thought.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, the Garys should just keep on being the Garys, and
yeah, we will. We are. Yeah.
That's interesting to consider. Like, I wonder if other female identified bands get the same sort of criticism.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be interesting to talk with some others about it because it kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't anticipating that.
Yeah, same.
I wonder if it's like, say, more sort of thrashy, garagey, punky, all girl bands would get the same criticism. Like, is it maybe the type of music because it's your music is like,
I don't know, just
maybe.
I can't speak.
Maybe
for...
if we like sang about angrier things, then like people wouldn't be surprised. Or not
someone would tell me, they were like, "Well, you guys sing about like happy stuff. It's like happy music, so you got to be happy, you know." And I was like, "No,
it's not that happy. No, though. It's not like bubblegum pop or anything.
Whatever."
So where have you played? You've been on the road the last few weekends. So where have you played and what was that like?
Last weekend we were in Lethbridge for the Electric Eye Fest. And that was awesome.
It was so great.
It was really cool.
Like such a supportive group of musicians there. Like I don't think we received any criticism in that vein at all.
Everybody was really cool and stoked. And we sold a bunch of cassettes and made a bunch of new friends.
And bought a bunch of cassettes.
Yeah, we bought a bunch of cassettes.
So many cool bands. It seemed like every show you went to was like musicians like supporting other musicians and like buying each other's music and like, it was awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to see some of those people again. And it just makes you want to like go play in like Edmonton, Calgary, or like just go back and make connections with those people again because you know you have like these like potential really cool shows that you could build. You know.
So what was the thought process behind the cassette format? Cassettes are from like my childhood and I have a few at home still kicking around, but I'm trying to still secure like a cassette player.
Yeah. A lot of people have asked us about the cassette because they seem to be getting more and more popular and people are noticing them more and more. But it seems like a really common format for independent artists to release their own work on nowadays because of the affordability of it, I think.
Originally, I really love vinyl. So I was just like, I was just dreaming of seeing my mom's face on a vinyl and like being able to sell them. But like, we just don't have jobs where we can afford to just throw that kind of money into it.
Or like time. We'd be waiting months still to get the vinyl in our hands.
Right. And this was a way that we could still release something physical, give people something to like physically walk home with. And it's like, it just happens to also be kind of what people are doing now just because it's affordable, so it's not really a coincidence. It's just like lots of bands doing really creative things but don't have the money to you know keep that going, so cassettes are making that happen.
And they're much more unique too, like you can really play around like with all the colors of the different parts of it and like the sleeve that comes out on the inside.
Remember that people physical things attached to your music.
And love the little
drawing on the inside. Yeah, that was our friend Ruby. She made those little doodles of us.
I think that's a good point, though. It also, like, retains the nostalgia factor. Like, vinyl has a nostalgia factor. CDs don't have it yet. Maybe they will someday. But cassettes do.
Another good point is, like, I have CDs from when I was, like, 10, and they don't work anymore. I don't even know where they are. But I've got, like, tapes from when
coasters.
I was a kid. And, like, all my tapes I have from when I was a kid, they still work. As long as, like, you didn't get their...
Yeah, they didn't get eaten.
Yeah. You know, like,
depend how much you listen to it, though.
But they
get kind of warbly.
But
that's also like, there's some bands that like emulate that warbly cassette sound. Like Mac DeMarco.
That
like
hiss in the background? The background.
Yeah, or like they like record their music and then like feed it through a tape machine so that the like sounds like it is on an old cassette, you know?
Yeah, because that's probably how they were used to hearing music, right? Mm-hmm. When they were, I guess I was, I don't know, when I was growing up, it was records, cassettes and then later on CD. So I've experienced all, and now digital, all different formats. And yeah, the cassettes definitely have like a nostalgic value. And they're reportable, they're small.
Yeah.
And you can chuck them around. You can chuck them around.
Yeah, just like the floor of my car.
Throw it in your purse.
There's like 100 tapes on the floor of my car.
And I love the fact that it's pink. Everything is pink. It's great.
Yeah, they worked out.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So what are some of your plans for the summer? Are you touring around? Are you creating new music? Or what's the deal with the Garys?
So this summer, we kind of have a plan to record some new music. We're making a concept album. So we have a cabin at Manitou Lake.
Nice.
And so what we're planning on doing, we've actually written a bunch of the songs and we've been performing them at our shows as well. But all the songs are based on different establishments at Manitou. So,
We've been joking around a bit that it's just kind of been writing itself a little bit. Because we were just like, wow, first it started off being an EP, but now it's an album. Like, it's just so great. You know, I'm having so much fun.
It's kind of snowballed. But in like a great way.
And we just have so many cool ideas that are going to be a part of that. That release, which will maybe be a year from now or something, because it takes forever to get that stuff done.
Yeah.
But right now we're writing and practicing these whole whack of new songs that are super fun.
Great.
And really surfy.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah.
And when's the next time you're performing in Saskatoon so I can put it in my iCalendar?
June 2nd, right?
Yep. Yeah. I'm playing with bands from Medicine Hat and Lethbridge, Terra and Participation. They played at Electric Eye and they're playing at Sled Island. They're fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah.
So we're also playing Mosu Fest, which is going to be really great. We're super excited about that. And then we're playing at Gateway Festival in Bangoff, Sask in July.
Wow.
So that's going to be super fun.
Busy summer.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. This went by really quickly.
Yeah,
but we'll have you on again when your next album comes out. So thank you for joining us this evening on The Laundry List.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Lisa.
And you're listening to 90.5 CFCR, and happy May long and good night.
Bye.
Bye.